As we be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach continue our series of shiurim on the Melacha Makba Patish, there are two specific difficulties that face us as we learn these shiurim. One, as we've discussed in previous shiurim, the exact details of what Makba Patish is and what Makba Patish isn't is unclear in the Rishonim, as we discussed previously. From Rashi and Tosfos, it seems that their understanding of Makba Patish is very connected to the concept of Gemar Melacha, the completion of a Melacha, whereas according to the Rambam, it's much more connected to a concept of Maisa Umin, where it involves a level of expertise and experience to be able to accomplish what one is trying to accomplish. The other issue that is an issue when we speak about the concept of Makba Patish, and that is that Makba Patish is not a siman in Shulchan Aruch. There is no specific siman in Shulchan Aruch that speaks only about the Melacha Makba Patish. We find Makba Patish spread out throughout Shas, in Masech the Shabbos, and Masech the Beya, and in Shulchan Aruch, the halachas that are mentioned different times, different places, about Makba Patish. As we've given examples in previous shurim, where the Halacha Makba Patish, there is no simon, but there is an issue of Makba Patish. And today in our shir, we continue finding halachas in Shulchan Aruch where the issue of Makba Patish, or another way that the Rishonim call it Tikkun Mana, comes up. In Siman Shin Beis, Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, and this is based on a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey, Halakit Yavoy L'Shagav B'Godim. A very common question. There are different pieces of dirt that form on a person's clothing, kigoyin Eilo hayibolish shebikli tzemer hanisharm ben min ariga, the pieces of material of thread that are left over on the garment after sewing, weaving the beged. Chay, if you remove them, yichay from makba patish. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'hu shiak b'leihem. This is only if you're makbid. Avlam hisilram derek esek. If just as you're wearing them, you remove them, your potter. So the question that comes up is if somebody buys a new suit and there may be pieces of material there may be threads left on them. So the halacha clearly here is that one is over the iser of makba patish if those pieces of material, if those pieces of thread bother you. Now, in the halacha, v'hu shiak b'leihem, as the Bi'ur Halacha already quotes the Prima Godim, what is the definition of v'hu shiak b'leihem? Is the definition of yak b'leihem means that they bother you, and therefore you have to remove all of the threads to make the suit wearable. And therefore, if somebody will only remove one thread, that won't be makba patish if there are many other threads or some other threads left over. Or is makba, are you over the iser of makba patish even if you take off some of the threads with removing other threads? And actually, this question of the Prima Godim is related to the machloikis that we discussed in our first year on the subject between Rashi and Tosfos, because we learned in our Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that Kuf Gimel Amud Beis that a tzar tzura kol shehu, if somebody even does the most minimal amount of engraving on a keli, he's chayev for makba patish. And when we discuss that halacha, that's the opinion of the Tanakama. Shimon disagrees. And when we discuss the opinion of the Tanakama, who holds even a tzar tzura kol shehu was chayev, we ask, what does that mean? Doesn't mean that you made any part of the tzura, even though there's much of the tzura left over? Or is the definition of Hatzar Tzura that you made the last part of that act of engraving? And that would be this question as well. When the Shulchan Aruch says that you take off the threads, you're chayif amakib apatish, what does that mean? Does it mean when you take off the last thread? Because then it's truly a gemara melacha. Not a suit, it's perfectly wearable. Or is it considered makib apatish only when you take off any thread, even though the suit still has threads on it? Because as we explained, Rashi's opinion is that anything that contributes towards being makib apatish, even though it isn't the final act, still could fall into the category of makib apatish. So, therefore, it turns out that this question, the way we've been understanding, is actually a machloikis rishonim. According to Rashi, you can't take threads off, even if you're going to still have more threads on the suit. On the other hand, the Tosfos will hold, only when you remove all the threads would you be chayif for makib apatish. Along the same lines, what would be the halacha if you have a suit that has these threads on them, but you don't intend to wear the suit, but it's hanging in your closet and those threads bother you? Are you allowed to remove them on Shabbos? If we hold that the melacha makib apatish is connected to gemar melacha, this may not be a gemar melacha if I don't intend to wear it. Most poskim disagree. If it bothers me, even if I'm not going to wear it, it is considered makib apatish. Similarly, what would be the halacha question that comes up? A garment that gets dirty, it has a stain on it, it gets dirty, a hat falls off and it gets dusty, can you take off that dust? So the Mishnah Berurah here in Sif Katan Yud Aleph says, V'nira, the im hu begit chadosh v'shachar, if you have a nice new black suit and you have a very noticeable piece of dirt on it, einam mutal kalfon, you may not remove it. Rak be'einam makbid, only if it really doesn't bother you, then may you remove it. V'imhu lach, if it's moist, says the Shulchan, a different halacha going into the halacha of Schita, mekancha, besmartut, use a brush, don't use a cloth. And therefore the Paiskim say, many times when people buy a new suit and they had it altered by a tailor, and the tailor makes chalk marks on the suit to show that where he has to do alteration, if the tailor forgot before Shabbos to remove those chalk marks, on Shabbos one may not remove those chalk marks, because the removal of those chalk marks is makib apatish. Or another shaila that I saw, which really also goes into the category of kareya, and that is, can someone open up, if he buys a suit and the suit packets are sewn together, can he open up those suit packets? Again, avoiding the question of kareya, and may fall, some people say, into the category of makib apatish. I did see that the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosoy in Perek Tezvov speaks about a shaila that sometimes a button falls off a garment and there are threads left over. And the question is that permitted to take out? And most Paiskim seem to say that that isn't making the suit wearable, and therefore the removal of those threads will not fall into the category of makib apatish. There's another halacha further in Shulchan Aruch that speaks about the halacha of makib apatish. The Shulchan Aruch says, Muchin shenav, and it's obviously a Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Muchin shenav l'min hakesis, if you have a blanket full of material feathers or whatever material is in your blanket and your pillows, muchen shenaflu min hakeses, and they fell out from the pillow on Shabbos, the loch is mutar lachzirum. They may be replaced. Ava also litnam betchila bekeses. One may not lachatchila put those. May not lachatchila put them into the blanket. Why? Because again, if you put it in lachatchila, that's called tikkun mana. That's called making it into a keli. And the Mishnah Berurah says that if one were to do so on Shabbos, Mishnah Berurah says it's an iser deraisa. Whereas if it fell out and you only replacing it, that isn't considered makom patush. So before we discuss this halacha further, why is there a nafka minan halacha if you're putting something in that was there previously, or you're not putting it in, or it wasn't, or you're putting it in for the first time? So it's very understandable. Because if we learn that makom patush means gmar malacha, it's what's making this keli into a keli. It's only if it was never there. So now I'm creating a keli. But if it was not there, if it was there already, and I'm just restoring it, so that isn't a gemar melacha because I already have a keli, and therefore it's mutter. So the question that comes up, and many paiskim discuss this question, is may one blow up a balloon, or may one blow up any type of a wheel or anything that would be on Shabbos if it loses the air. Some Paiskim say that even balloons that never had anything in them before are mutter, because it's not comparable. This is the psak of the Debre Tzina Rav. He discusses it in more than one place, the issue of blowing up a balloon on Shabbos. And this is a tshuva in Chelik Vav, Chelik Dalid, Simen Chav Gimel. And his brother, the Shailos HaTshuvos, Betzel HaChochma, in Chelik Dalid, Simen Tzadik Beis, both take a very lenient approach towards blowing up balloons on Shabbos. He says, the Ritzina Rav says that your blowing up a balloon does not make it into a keli. He says, when you fill a blanket, you fill a pillow, you're making it into a keli. Putting just air into a balloon, which ultimately, he says, the air will go out anyway, he says, is not considered an act of makom patush. And therefore, he says that even in a situation where the balloon that's being blown up is in the form and the shape of an animal or anything, since it's not something that's considered of any type of permanence, that is not considered an act of tikkun mana makom patush. And so too does his brother take that approach, as I said, in the Betzel HaChochma, in Chelik Dalid Simen Tzadik Beis. He says that if there's no concern that you're going to make a knot when you blow up the balloon, there's no iser at all of makom patush tikkun mana in making that balloon. The Yisoidi Yeshurin, I saw, differentiates very much along the lines of what's said here in the Shulchan Aruch, if it had air in it previously versus if it didn't have air in it previously. Obviously, his opinion is that it depends. If it had air previously, so you're not making a new keli, therefore it's mutter. If it didn't have air, even though it's not the strongest of kelim, it still would be considered an act of makom patush. Along those lines, following the opinion of the you saw the Yeshurim. There are other Paiskim that take this one step further, and they want to differentiate between something that you're blowing up with air that you're going to keep like that for a long time versus something that you're blowing up with air that isn't going to be kept that way for a long time. It's very similar to the psak that we discussed earlier in our shiurim regarding putting in a shoelace on Shabbos that we discussed. There's also an issue of makabe patish, and we said that there's a nafkamina and a halacha between if the shoelace will remain there permanently versus if the shoelace will be removed. And here too, the Paiskim want to suggest, some Paiskim want to suggest, that if I'm going to blow this tire up, let's say a tire, and it's not normally, the air is not normally released from the tire, it's a lot easier to be lenient versus when we speak about a balloon or a toy, a blow-up ball that you do with it, you play with a child, that you take out the ear. And maybe, in fact, if you will have a mind to remove the ear, it's easier to be makel. However, the Miches Yitzchak and Chelik Vav Simen Lamed, and so too is the opinion of the Shaul Satshuvas Chelkis Yaakov, a machmer under all situations, even if the balloon was already once blown up, and even if it's not something that's kept permanently. This far is that there's a difference between the case of the muchen that we've been discussing that lose the filling and you want to put it back in, because when you're putting the filling in, you're putting the filling back in to the same blanket and the same pillow that they were there originally. However, here, when you're putting air into the balloon, so they say two things. You're not obviously putting back the same air that was in that balloon originally. And furthermore, air is not something that's meant that's not meant to be kept permanently. I put the filling of a blanket or a pillow, that's what's going to be there forever. Here, air is meant to be there only temporarily. So since air, by definition, is a very temporary filling, therefore you can't compare the filling of air, the filling with air, to the filling with material. And they paskin that you can't blow up a balloon under any circumstances. Rebbe Yashiv goes a step further. His opinion is that that blowing up a balloon involves the issue of the dechol, that it's not something that should be done on Shabbos. But again, although we haven't yet discussed extensively the halacha of the dechol, it's very difficult to say when one is over of the dechol and one is not over of the dechol, given that it's such a not clear definition. Another interesting shaila that I saw in the Shaila Satshuvas Be'er Moshe, Simen Chelik Ches, Simen Mem Gimel. We know that the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Ches, Sif Zayin, says that before one puts on the talus, he should make sure that the tzitzis are not tangled up together. And therefore the question comes up, may one untangle the tzitzis on Shabbos? Because by untangling the tzitzis, you're making the talus, the tzitzis that you're wearing, wearable. Is that usher because of the isser of makabe patish? So his opinion is that even if you're a person that is makbid to always untangle your tzitzis, and even if it's the first time that you're wearing the tzitzis, his opinion is that since you're allowed to wear the tzitzis with the tzitzis when they're tangled, the halacha is that untangling the tzitzis would not be considered makabe patish. However, there are paiskim that differentiate between the first time you're wearing the tzitzis versus other times. The first time you're wearing the tzitzis, and Rav Avadya Yosef in the Shaalos HaTshuvos, Yabia Omer, Chelek Hei, Simen Gimel, discusses the Shaila, and he says that the first time you're wearing them, so you're making the tzitzis, you're making the talus that you're wearing into a talus, and therefore it's considered an act of makva patish. But if you've already worn these tzitzis previously, disentangling them, even though it's the proper thing to do, as stated in the Shulchan Aruch, would not be considered makva patish. Another question that the Paiskim discuss, and I saw that Rav Avadya Yosef in his Sefer Chazoin Avadya on Hilchas Shabbos discusses this question in the Halachas of Misakim Mona. And this is a question: if someone's lavatory, his toilet, gets clogged up and he wants to use a plunger or different method to clear it up, is it considered Misakim Mona or not? So he says that if it's in such a situation where it's not usable because it's so clogged up, using a plunger would be an Isser or Makva Patish. It would be considered Tekken Mana. He says that if there's a Tzorech Gadol, where we need to have that lavatory available, and you can't, and it's covered abrius, so he says, through an Akum, and he says if you do it with Amira La Amira, not telling the Akum directly, but somebody else telling the Akum, maybe we could be lenient. L'kavod Shabbos, l'kavod Bris. But in a situation where it's not completely clogged up, and the water is able to go through, and all you accomplish by using this plunger is that it goes easier. So he says, if you don't use a professional tool, because if you use a professional tool, we have a new issue. Because as we've been discussing, the opinion of the Rambam is that Tikkun Mana, that Makva Patish, means a Maisa Umin. So if you're using a professional tool, that already falls into the category of a Maisa Umin, which according to the Rambam's opinion, one is open for Makva Patish, even if it's not a Gemara Malacha, if it's a Maisa Umin. Therefore, if you're using a home-style plunger, or if you pour down one of these liquids that causes it to get unclogged, and it wasn't completely clogged in the first place, so Rav Avadya Yosef takes this lenient opinion. There are poskim that are more machmer, but that's the opinion that he takes. And perhaps specifically when we're dealing with a situation of kavod abrius, there is room to be more lenient. Another question that comes up is, let's say someone's glasses get broken on Shabbos. What is the halacha regarding repairing them? So the Paiskim say that if the glasses are wearable, if the glasses are wearable, even without repairing them, and you're only straightening them out to make it more comfortable, so then the Paiskim take a lenient view. But if it's a situation where they're not wearable the way they are, so now we have much more of a question. So the Paiskim make the following distinction. They say we have to look at the act of repair that you're doing. If it's an act of repair which is obviously just permanent, then it's usur. For example, let's say your lens fell out of the glasses. So the Paiskim say, if it's in such a way that that's the way it can remain permanently, that would be the Isser of Makva Patish. However, if after you put them in, it's only good on a temporary basis, And after Shabbos, you're going to have to go to a professional to put them in properly, then snapping the lens may not be usher. If, on the other hand, you do it in a way which is obviously just temporary, for example, you make a knot around your glasses to keep, you put some string around, a knot would be Isser of Kosher, but you put some string around your glasses in a way that would keep them in place, that's obvious that it's only a mark of it's only temporary, and that wouldn't fall into the category of mark of a patish. One more interesting shayla, a few more interesting cases of mark of a patish. Let's say you buy plastic cutlery and very commonly they forget to detach them from the factory. Each spoon or fork is supposed to be detached, but for whatever reason they weren't detached. That would be a nisa or mark of a patish, because until you detach those connected pieces, they were not usable. You, by detaching them, make them into a keli, and that is the iser of makva patish. On the other hand, the Paiskim say that many times you have, particularly when you have a plastic cup, it develops like a bump in it, or somebody makes an indentation in it, and you want to straighten it out. That, the Paiskim say, would be mutter, because let's think about it. The cup is usable even though it has this bump in it, so therefore it's not a gemar melacha that we said is the isra makba patish. And furthermore, there's no mais umen required to straighten this cup out. So when you have given all the different explanations, definitions we give in makba patish, it wouldn't fall into the category makba patish, and therefore would be permitted on Shabbos.